Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
And we've also got Justin Fick.
E3.
Guys, it's E3. There's so much news. Oh. You know, it almost seems sad that we do this show and like have so little news most of the time. Little morsels of nothing. And now this week, there's so much shit. We don't even have time to prep. There's so many things to talk about.
It's a cornucopia.
So we literally just sat down. Usually there's like an hour before we do this goddamn show. Because Blake is slow. Getting my news. But no, not we're today. Just, we just hit
this
record.
Is like the id of BDPEs. Anyway, this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, July 15th, 2011. All right, guys. First of all, I think we should talk about the press conferences. Okay, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo had their each big press event, their pre-E3 press event. Who we want to talk about first?
Well, let's do Sony first.
Okay, what's up in the Sony press conference? What happened, William Miller? Break it down for us.
Unfortunately, this is the one I just heard about. Oh. I watched the other
two.
Dude,
I saw... Look,
I didn't actually see the Sony.
All.
Somebody else...
I'll take this one. It sucked. No, it wasn't so bad.
Moving on.
But no, it really wasn't. It wasn't awful. Is that a compliment? Like, let's see. Oh, I had some notes that I typed up a ball because I was thinking, ooh, I'm going to shit on that when we get to the show. Oh, yeah. They started with like Drake. You know, what is it? Drake Uncharted 3 or whatever. Drake's whatever. I don't even know the name of that game because I don't have a PlayStation, but it looks good. Uncharted 3 looked pretty solid. They were on a boat. Boat turned over, they're swimming. Kind of looked like Hydrophobia, which I thought was a little weird that we just talked about that last week. Then, but it looks solid. Then they had a Resistance. Dude, who... I don't even know if it's Resistance 2 or 3, but it's just like the most fucking generic-looking game. Did anybody play the original Resistance?
No, I don't play any of the Resistance games. They all just seem... Well, I mean, like you said, they seemed completely plain, vanilla,
yeah.
Here's bad guys, just shoot them... End
yeah.
of game.
And
know.
Like they're like, all right, we're gonna fire our gun now, and it's like, have you? Not, I'm not saying have you ever fired a gun in real life. Have you ever fired a gun in another video game? Anyway, so they showed off a bunch of their. They started with those two, and then moved on to a bunch of their move stuff, which had like this one thing called Medieval Moves, which is like this kind of Harry Potter Zelda thing where you're casting spells and stuff, but. Here's the thing that I thought was really funny about just the entire press conference idea in general. Usually when they get these people to do these presentations, they're like programmers or art directors, and they just have no fucking speaking skills whatsoever. And it's written so poorly. This guy who did Medieval Moves, which he was wearing, you know, I don't know if you know, see, on TV you're not supposed to wear thin stripes because you get that the moire effect. You know what I'm talking about? You can read this, look at something on Wikipedia, but his shirt looks like I'm on drugs. He's doing jokes like,
go shoot the activator, Jeremy. Nice work. I wonder if we can get past these spinning gears. Like,
yes, I know he knows how to get past them. You're reading off a teleprompter. Anyway, I don't want to get into all the details, but let's see, what else? What else did I have?
Oh. Well, the thing with all the Sony presenters anyway is like, compared to Microsoft especially, like, Sony must have got, like, the most overweight, out-of-shape, mouth-breathing dudes to present shit in the world. It was like, everyone was like, go through this door.
You're talking about that black dude who was showing off all that, whatever that generic, like, hack-and-slash role-playing game was.
Oh, yeah.
They had on, we'll get to that.
I see myself lightheaded just imitating that shit. Holy shit.
So, to just finish up the rest of the PS3 stuff, they had Ken Levine was on there, and, you know, I think Ken Levine thinks he's the new Cliffy B now. He was wearing skinny shirt, you know, he's clearly been working out, and he's like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm your bro. You're not my bro, Ken Levine! I don't like him. He's like getting into that, like, I think I'm a rock star game developer territory.
Him and Cliffy B need to have a collar popping contest.
Yeah. Oh, and then Jack Tritton. Let me describe to you what Jack Tritton was wearing.
This is like the Oscars.
He's wearing a gray suit with a peach shirt under his blazer and this like disgusting, or no, it was a blue shirt with this peach tie. It looked absolutely and he's like, he looks like my dad. I mean, could you not have gotten somebody a little better? Even when he left the stage and Kaz Harai came on, Kaz Harai even mocked his tie. If you're getting mocked by Kaz Harai, something is fucking wrong. Let's see what else. They showed some Battlefield 3 stuff. There's a new Star Trek game coming out exclusive to the PS3. It looks kind of interesting. Again with the thin stripes on Kaz Harai. People, you can't wear thin stripes. I don't know who told you guys this. Anyway, finally they announced the Vita. I think it's not it's the Vita, I think,
the Vita,
right?
The PS Vita.
PS, which we speculated last week or a few weeks ago. You know, it looks like exactly what you would expect out of the second PSP. It's
I'm excited for this thing. Honestly.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wait, both of you are on this Vita camp? Really?
Yeah, dude. I just want to play Tactics Ogre. That's it. Really, I would just settle for a PSP Go at this point, honestly. But that thing did look hot.
Now, I mean, I'll agree that it's a hot-looking piece of hardware. But from what I saw at launch, they didn't really have any, like, killer app even a little bit. What's the game you guys are interested in? Or is there one?
Right now, honestly, there's not. I mean, I'm looking at this in terms of the hardware and what it's capable of. I mean, with the, you know, like, this is basically, I mean, we'll get to Nintendo in a second, but the PS Vita is basically exactly what I wanted the Nintendo's new controller to be. You know, it had all the buttons it needed to have, it had a touchscreen on it, it has the accelerometer. I mean, it really does look like the, you know, everything I want. You know, want this to be like, you know, I mean, especially with me getting into like iOS gaming a lot more, like being able to play, you know, a racing game by steering the PSV, like that, you know, like that's cool to me. Like, I'm excited for this.
The only thing
that worries me really is, you know, just the Sony curse. Like, Sony manages to fuck up every product launch ever.
Yeah, what was the last? I guess the PS2 was not a fuck up, but yeah, everything since $599 has just gone downhill.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know if it'll catch on or not. I mean, I thought the PSP Go. I mean, well, the PSP Go was expensive too, but like if this,
yeah,
really,
I think it's $250, which is isn't that the same price as the 3DS at the moment?
Yes. Yeah, it's $250 and it's $299 for the 3G version, which...
Oh yeah. I remember when they announced the 3G version, and they're like, and our provider for the 3G coverage will be, and then a big AT&T logo popped on screen, and you could hear all of this booing in the audience.
Just the collective groan of the internet.
I was thinking, and like, he tried to recover from, I think Kaz Rai was giving the speech, he was like, yep, there it is, moving along. Why AT&T has such bad brand image. I mean, are they really that? I mean, I know they suck, but don't all cell phone companies suck? I mean, is
yeah,
Verizon,
I think it's
or any
the
other
fact
ones?
There's so many more people on AT&T, there's so many more people that hate it. I don't know.
So
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if this will catch on or not, but like if it does, it'll be huge. Like, all it really needs is a foothold, and it needs to keep it.
Yeah, you know what I did while I was watching them talk about the PSP Vita? I went and played Rage on my iPhone 4, like running at 60 frames a second. I think I'm good. I don't know. It seems like they got such an uphill battle because I don't know if the games are there. I guess that's the key, is if the games are there. But
well, what about the back catalog? Right? Are we gonna see downloadable versions of all the old PSP games or PS2 games even? I mean,
I don't think the old
what's there
now, the old tapes aren't going to work in the new one, right, Justin Fick? I don't think
that's the only reason I want one.
No, I mean like the PS PSP tapes won't, will it?
There's no UMD slot. I mean.
Yeah. Look,
all I want is Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together. that's all I want, damn it.
I have not clung enough. I need more clinging.
I gave my PSP to Aaron. Uh-huh. And I don't really want it back. I just want to play that game.
The Kling.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Kling tape.
So let's see. What did they announce? Yeah, there was a couple. There was like this hack and slash game. They announced what is that racing game that was so popular? Mod Nation Racers, Little Big Planet. Was there a Metal Gear? I don't think they announced anything Metal Gear related.
Actually, I know what I'm excited for. I'm excited for Sound Shapes.
Uh-oh. What is
this? You guys see the seat? Uh-oh. So this is the new Queasy game. So this is Jonathan Mack. He made Everyday Shooter for the PS3. And this is it's sort of like a hybrid of a music sequencer and a platformer. Huh. It's very cool.
Oh, like, I saw this on Create Digital Music. They had an article about it. Yeah.
Yeah, really cool. So, I mean, you're basically creating a song, and then the notes end up being game elements in this platformer. And, you know, the song kind of plays itself through in different combinations as you're going through it, as you're collecting the coins, as you're bouncing off things. It looks really hot.
There's there's kind of a game, just, I guess it's not really like that, but it's reminiscent on, what is it, I wanted to say XNA, it's not called that anymore, though. What is it called? Indie games, Xbox indie games. But it was the same sort of system where you'd put in a MP3, and it was kind of a 8-way shooter that generated enemies based on
intensity. I don't remember the name of it, but I played it. It's on Steam, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one where they're like the four tracks, and you're in a car.
No. That's Audio Surf. That's not the same thing.
Oh,
This is like a shooter, sort of like an Asteroids almost. Mm-hmm.
Damn,
the one time. Anyway, the game. I mean, I guess it's coming out this fall, and it's one thing for the Wii U not to have a definite game list yet, but. Yeah, there's no, like, I guess Little Big Planet, but there's no system mover to me at the moment on the PS, Vita.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, I'm hoping that there's, you know, like maybe the minis will be available to purchase, and then, you know, it sounds like there's some cool stuff going on with between the Vita and the PS3, like the hack and slash game the guy was playing.
Maybe I'll be able to
start on the Vita and then continue down the PS3, that kind of thing.
Maybe I'll be able to use my Vita as a screen for my PS3. This is the future of gaming. No, not yet. We can't shit on Nintendo yet. It's not their turn. One thing I wanted to say before we got off. Okay, so I was telling you guys how most presenters are terrible. Best presenter of E3, hands down, his name is Yoshinori Ono from Capcom. Now, you guys probably didn't see this, but he was demoing Tekken X, what is it, Tekken X Street Fighter. And this dude, he was wearing like this, it looked like a Brian Crescente purple blouse. With like these weird diagonal stripes on it. And he was just giggling to himself the whole time, like totally unfazed that all of these millions of people were watching.
So kind of like us, except for the millions of people.
Right. But yeah, he was just like, check it out, here's a game. And like the translator like couldn't keep up with what he was saying. He's like, I don't care. Just, I'm done.
Oh. Speaking of blouses, Blake, did you see the Devil's Third trailer?
I did not. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, my God. Well, Devil's Third is Tomonobu Itagaki's new game.
Oh, I saw that. Is that the video you sent me?
Right?
Oh, why don't you describe it for our listeners?
Okay. All right. So it's one of these weird, like, Japanese. It's got a Japanese comedian, and he's running around Valhalla Studios, you know, kind of advertising the game, but... He keeps asking everybody, you know, where's Itagaki at? Where's Itagaki at? Whatever. So he's in the studio. There are all these programmers and stuff. You see a little bit of the game on the screen or whatever. Right. It just kind of looks like
a promo,
a Japanese game studio. Yeah, a promo, right. And so eventually he gets exasperated. So he goes to the back of the studio and there's this room down a hallway that says keep out, right? And he has to like judo chop some dude who's guarding the door to get in. And he opens the door. It's just like a strip club in the back. And like Itagaki's in there, he looks like Prince. Like, decked out. He's got like a blouse on, and he's like rolling dice.
He's surrounded by
all
like these
women
young women.
Everywhere.
There's hearts popping up on the screen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Japanese television, they love to put like icons, lots of text on the screen. For this particular room, there's just hearts everywhere, like being generated by the women that are all.
I can't decide if like
but anyway,
like Japanese humor is so far like weaker and less than American humor, or so far advanced than American humor. We'll never know the answer.
This definitely advanced. Like, or actually, this is probably just true to life. I mean, this is where they keep.
Those hearts on the
if
screen
they let
were
him out
real.
Of there, he starts like that. All of wherever he goes, that sort of miasma of women and booze and gambling and smoke follow him, and so they can't just have him out in the studio somewhere because it would just disrupt.
Yeah, no work would get
the
done
work of all the people around him. Right, exactly. So they just have this special room where they keep him and all the strippers.
Oh
man, if you haven't seen it, look up like Devil's Third trailer or something on YouTube. You will not be disappointed. Just you know,
you'll find it.
Let it ride for a little while. It's a little weird, but the payoff is definitely.
Anyway, to wrap up Sony's press conference, there's promise. You know, there are a couple of games kind of stood out. Like they got a new Sly Cooper that looked cool. There's something called Dust. Like I don't know, 15, 18, or I can't decide.
Hang on now.
Uh-oh.
Hang on now. I can talk a little bit.
Oh,
about
what do you
Dust.
Know about
so
this?
Dust. Dust is made by CCP, which the guys that do EVE
Online.
It's
Dust 514 is the name.
And the cool thing about Dust is that it's a first-person shooter on the console, but all the action in the shooter on the console is directed by players of the MMO. And so in the MMO on the PC, they're like planets and shit that are being contested by different factions and guilds. And if you want to win a planet, you got to recruit people on the Xbox to fight the war for you on the ground.
That sounds like a good idea
and
on paper.
It does, and it remains to be seen how well they're going to execute this, but the idea of like connecting an MMO that's already well-established with the shooter on the consoles and having sort of this direct communication between the two of them is really intriguing, and I'm excited to see it. And it looks great. The game looks really pretty.
Well, I mean, you know, EVE Online really did work. Like, it really did create these advanced, you know, like pseudo-corporations of people with boards of directors and votes and all that kind of stuff. I got a feeling that this will work as intended. And then maybe like 6 months to a year into a game, something off will find a way to just completely rape the system from top to bottom.
Yeah, anytime you got too much connection with it, give too much power to the fans, everything's going to be dicks somehow. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, the thing is, like, well, with EVE Online anyway, like, it wasn't all dicks. Like, EVE Online players were taking things very seriously. And then Something Awful basically, you know, used the human element of it to get away, you know, to get around the whole, I guess, corporate ladder that was involved with EVE Online and basically just disbanded, like, the three, you know, biggest, you know, guilds in the games. Turned it into a fucking feeding frenzy. It was hilarious. Like,
yeah, no, it was if we're talking about the same thing, it was this really intricately planned heist of the biggest corporation in the game's like assets, which were evaluated at some ridiculous amount of actual money and time spent gathering them. So these people from SA are somewhere. If we're talking about the same
thing. Yeah, we're talking about Goonfleet.
Exactly, like infiltrated this guild and like gained their trust, and then there was going to be this big battle with another guild, and they just swiped all of their shit.
Whoops.
Like all of the stuff that they had worked years to get, you know, just gone.
And I guess in that sense,
it's
like
completely within the rules of the game.
It's like a real bank heist. That's what happens in real bank heist. Exactly. Hey, instead of us splitting this money, I'm going to shoot all of you, and then I get the money. Look at that.
Well, I think what they
I went to crime school.
It was basically the what they were going to do with it in Die Hard 3. Like, I think that they gave all the assets to like one little level one ship, and that was it. And then it just sort of disappeared.
I like that. It's like the video game version of the movie Hackers. Anytime we can throw the movie Hackers in here, I love it. So anyway, Sony's press conference. It wasn't awful, but nothing like leapt out at me as being standout. We'll see about the Vita. You know, we'll see. I would say, I don't know, if I had to grade it, what would you guys, I guess you guys didn't watch it. I'd give it like, on a 1 to 10, I'd 6 maybe. It was all right. Who's got the next conference?
Well, the thing I did like about Sony, and the thing I do give them points for now is, and maybe this is from the whole hacking thing, is Sony's a lot humbler now. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Like, they are
what,
not.
Were they?
I think so. Well, compared to the way they were before.
Oh, how so? How is it different than before?
I don't know. It's more just. I mean, especially with you know, like the videos I've seen about the Vita, they are, you know, they seem. I'm not gonna say they seem kind of like Nintendo, but they're kind of giving off that vibe that, you know, it's like, we have this cool new hardware now. We want to see what we can do with it, and this and this and this. And it's not like, this is gonna blow your fucking face off. This is gonna be the future of gaming. No, it's just like, just their attitude towards it was, you know, we hope you like the things that we're gonna make on this new console. Like, I don't know, like that's the kind of vibe I got from them compared to previous years, where we're just like, here's our giant PS3 cock, you're gonna bend over and take it, and you're gonna buy our console.
Oh God, what a year that was. All right, well, let's see, I guess we should save Nintendo for the end. So who's gonna talk about Microsoft?
I'll take Microsoft. So Microsoft, this was the first press conference I watched of the day. And Microsoft, man, like, they just did it's like Microsoft and Nintendo did a complete about face. If you remember, Nintendo last year was like, we're going to make games for old people and for children and all this. The focus on the Kinect was so extreme.
Oh my God.
We saw several franchises fall victim to the Kinect. The Kinectinator.
You know.
So we saw Fable, which is essentially a Rails.
Oh my God.
A Rails cutter. Oh. Now we saw what else did we see?
Mass Effect.
Now before you shit all over Mass Effect and the Kinect, totally, because God knows I can't wait to shit on this. But the Mass Effect and some of the other the voice stuff to me is kind of separate from the Kinect, right? Because, like, I don't know, voice stuff could be...
You can do all that mess without a Kinect, though, right? All you need is a microphone.
Why? Actually, well, I read an article that said that apparently all the voice recognition hardware is actually inside of the Kinect, which makes... that could be total, like, blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah, I think we can look at the Kinect as two separate things. There is the voice, and then there's Waggle.
There's awful.
Yeah.
So...
Oh my God! You remember, like, how much time of that conference was devoted to the Disney World thing?
You forget that they're like they did. I mean, I'm again not trying to defend it, but they just had their best year because of the Kinect, right? They're outselling Nintendo, or about to outsell Nintendo because of the Kinect, right? I mean, from a business standpoint, I understand why they pressed the Kinect hard, but. Oh God! Everyone wants to die when we're watching this Disney fucking Kingdom thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like I can understand that Nintendo made a shitload of money off the Wii and their motion controls, and Microsoft is seeing the same pattern so far. But look at Nintendo now. Like, just, you know, a couple weeks ago we were saying Nintendo needs to come out with something really new and innovative, or they're fucking dead. You know, it's like I don't think Nintendo at this point is someone you want to be.
Let's save it now. Let's save Nintendo for later. We're on Microsoft now. So what are some of the games they talked about? Let's see. They started off with like a Tomb Raider that actually looked kind of decent. Did you guys see that Tomb Raider?
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
All right. And then what else did they have? I didn't write down my notes because we made a live thing in the forum, and then I've forgotten them all now. But.
They had they had Tomb Raider, they had the Disneyland Adventure,
right?
They had new sports, new Kinect.
Oh, they showed
sports.
Off a level Modern Warfare. That's right.
Yep, Modern Warfare.
Which, dude,
yep.
Modern Warfare 3 looks like ass. I'm so done with that entire, like, Battlefield 3 to me looks way leaps and bounds better than Modern Warfare 3. I mean, have you guys seen footage from both?
I agree. Yes.
Just. It's the same shit, right? Like, I'm watching them play Modern Warfare, and we talk about how that game is a tube. Like, literally, you're watching the cutscene driving along the tube, then he gets out of the boat, and he's standing on top of a boat, which itself is a tube. And you shoot a few guys, and then you watch another cutscene. It's like, and then they're on, like, oh, we gotta escape in a boat, which is, you know, yet another tube. I mean, I guess first-person shooters are always gonna have that tube gameplay, but...
I don't know.
They've kind of permanently devolved into that. Honestly, I'm done. I'm just gonna call them Madden shooters from now on, because they're, you know, it's basically the same fucking game every year. Just come out with another one, and everyone fucking buys it, and everyone, you know, and that's like the hot shooter to play. Madden shooters.
You know, I was gonna draw the exactly the same analogy. It's like they're paying attention to the same things. How good does the grass look? How's the sweat shading gonna work in this one? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, to me, now I'm gonna compliment Battlefield here, and I'm not sure because I haven't played it so much, but I remember when I played the last Battlefield, I think it was Bad Company 2. So, I mean, it wasn't like this whole time, but a lot of the single-player levels were kind of designed where, like, oh, more of a Far Cry style, where it's like, you're in a big environment, here's a camp of dudes you got to get into, and you could use, I mean, sure, more or less, you're going to go in there and kill everybody, but there was some element of, like, not tube, at least a little, right? Not tube. But I don't know. Then again, you can also look at things like, Chernobyl, whatever. Game. What is that? Stalker?
Oh, Stalker.
Yeah, didn't that suck? Did you, any guys play? It was supposed to be like open world.
I never
world.
Did play that, actually.
It was alright. Hmm. It was a little buggy, I think.
What else was that, Microsoft? Yeah, dude, just...
They had the Halo. New Halo.
Okay, wait, so there were two new Halos, right?
Two new Halos.
So the new, like... Did you guys watch the actual video from the Halo HD or whatever that's coming out this fall? It's a remake of the first one? Dude, it looks like shit. It looks like shit. It looks worse than, like, Reach. Like, the frame rate was all janky and shit. And, like, that game wasn't very good. Not many people would be like, yeah, Halo 1, the second half of that single-player game was great and not the same thing.
that's the impression I got. I'm like, I can understand why they're doing it from a business perspective and for a completion perspective. So, you know, Xbox 360, they can have them... Halo 1s again with them achievements and them leaderboards,
yeah,
and all that shit.
And you know what that'll mean?
Halo 1 was kind of shit.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm going to go out on a wild limb here. Guess what's coming out 2013? Halo 2 HD. Who would have fucking thought? So, let's see. Oh, and then the fucking Halo 4 was just not even... It was a nothing.
Teaser.
A big nothing. Show me one thing.
It was a teaser for a teaser.
Yeah.
Here's a video that will let you know that we're going to show a teaser to you at some later date.
the double tease.
Yeah.
Man, you know what got me about that? Like, I'm not a Halo fan. I played it a little bit. I suck at it. But in that trailer, you hear the little computer yapping in Master Chief's ear, and it's like, John! As the fucking planet's blowing up or whatever. I didn't know Master Chief had a fucking name.
Does he?
You get it at the very end of Halo 3.
Yeah, what? What?
I think that kind of ruins it, you know?
I mean, yeah, he's like a faceless automaton.
Well, no, he does speak.
You put your own personality. It's the same problem with the damn guy in Dead Space. As soon as that helmet came off, god damn it, I just wanted to cry.
It's like, I once watched a documentary about Spider-Man, and it talked about how Spider-Man was really popular because he's, like, back in the 60s when, you know, I guess comic book... Were they big in the 60s? I don't know. But back in at the height of the comic book days, Spider-Man was popular because, unlike other heroes, he was totally abstracted, and, like, more people could identify with him because you didn't see his face so much, and... You could, I guess, like, it's sort of the same thing as Master Chief. And I think you give him a name now. Now he's got a name. And now, you know, he's got a voice. And I guess he always had the voice, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had the voice and the personality. But they've been both, you know, like they were pretty cool enough. And they were pretty, I don't know.
Generic.
Like, generic, yeah. Like, it wasn't too gruff. Like, it wasn't like a Coltrane, yeah. Or it wasn't like a Marcus Fenix. Yeah.
And technically, John is the most generic name.
It wasn't a pansy ass, either.
Yeah. And technically, John is about the most generic name you can pick, anyway. Done. John. That's what we came up with. Design team.
Yeah, I mean, well, the only thing is, like, okay, we got his name. Doesn't mean you have to keep on using it. You can still call him Chief.
That's true. So, let's see. Wow, I feel like we're leaving something out. Oh, Tim Schafer.
No, there really wasn't that much to the Microsoft press conference.
Oh, yeah, the Sesame Street.
Yeah, he came out, and you know he hates himself, but he's like, here's our Sesame Street game, y'all. Here it is. It's for the Kinect.
That's not the whole story, but... I mean, like, the game that they were making ended up being so, so similar to Sesame Street anyway, that they just got the license.
Well, sure. But, well, at the same, you know, if you want to get, you know, it's the same, it's the...
It wasn't like they were stooping. Like, this was pretty much the game they were making anyway.
Sure, but at the same time, you know, I don't know, Double Fine has, all their other games have been kind of, I wouldn't say exclusive to adults, but they've been more adult-oriented, and I'm not saying, oh, fuck that, they're making a kid's game, but I guess I'm just disappointed that they're not working on some big, I want to see Brutal Legend 2, even though everyone hated that game.
I think, honestly, the thing is, like, I enjoyed Brutal Legend for what it was, but I really do appreciate and respect what Double Fine is doing right now. Like, they are doing it right.
Mm.
Like, they are looking, you know, they're basically saying, like, what I've been begging these companies to do. Like, if you have, say, you know, $10 million to, you know, make a game, instead of spending all $10 million on this huge fucking monolithic gothic mass of a game, you split that up into five $2 million games. Each one of those little games is very easy to make. They crank them out. They're releasing them like one every couple months. And, you know, they're all coming back to good reviews and I would hope good sales. Like, I know, Stacked? People love Stacked. I don't know if it sold well.
Yeah, I still haven't played that one. I missed that somehow.
It's cute.
Okay.
So, they're kind of doing it right. Like, they're, you know, and I think business-wise, they're very much, like, you know, spreading their eggs out, not putting them all in one basket. So, I mean, if a game fails, they got a bunch of other games. I mean, I think they are really doing it the rightest out of everybody right now.
That's true. A smart business move. Anyway, a bunch of Kinect games and... I can't stand the Kinect. I cannot, you know, I was so hoping somebody was going to have something that was like, here's the Kinect delivered to the hardcore audience, and it's actually good and interesting, and that just never happened. I mean, they tried to pretend.
They're betting the farm on the Kinect. Like, if this doesn't work out for them, like, I'm scared.
So, overall, what would you guys give Xbox and Microsoft for their press event on a 1 to 10 scale?
I would give it...
I'd give them a 10 if you're a two-year-old.
I'd give it what press event?
Yeah, I think I'm still waiting
for it.
This is their worst press event in years. I'm going like two. It was terrible. Terrible. You failed to excite me about anything, Microsoft. Nothing
Pretty
you did.
Much. Like, even the things that I would imagine that I would have been excited for, like Halo 4.
Yeah, they weren't excited.
It's like them busting their nut, and I didn't... You know, I got nothing out of that. I was like, okay, knew that was coming eventually. Yeah. Bungie's not involved, so, you know.
Yeah, and what is Bungie doing? Has that been elucidated? Maybe we'll hear something by the end of the week.
No, they are. I think they said that they are not at E3.
It seems like they'd give us a little morsel of something. Just something.
I don't know.
They've been working on that game since, I guess, because Reach shipped, I mean, almost a year now. Reach shipped like last August, I thought.
So, they got a great track record, so I'm pretty confident that whatever they make is going to be, you know, is going to be the standard competitive shooter. Like, I think they can totally do it. Like, Halo was, you know, Halo had that, Halo 2, Halo 3 had it. So, I mean, they kind of have that pedigree going for them. Like, I don't think Halo 4, since it's not them, I don't think Halo 4 is going to be worth the damn in the end. I think it's going to be whatever Bungie ends up making next. My guess is it's going to be sort of like a Call of Duty Elite subscription thing.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's see. I guess our last conference we got to talk about is Nintendo. Who's got that tape?
I can kick us off. Like, this is the one that I actually watched, and, you know, I enjoyed the whole thing actually start to finish. Like, they put on a really good conference, a good show. Like, they opened up with a live orchestra playing Zelda tunes, and I don't know, like they just sort of tugged at my heartstrings right away.
Okay.
So they're gonna have their Zelda 25th anniversary edition Jones coming out.
Right.
So they got that. They got Link's Awakening coming out on the 3DS shop.
Oh, so, yeah.
I'm excited for that too. I haven't played that in fucking ages.
Yeah, it's about time to put that tape back in. Or find your micro in the closet, wherever that is.
Now, my micro's out on my desk now. I found that shit.
There you go. So, let's see. What they started with the 3DS, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to be the hater, but... Yeah, dude, I fucking love... Dude, is this... I mean, okay, this is the problem that Nintendo has always had. Here's our releases for this fall. It's the same games we've been re-releasing for the past 15 years. Mario Kart, Star Fox, new Super Mario Brothers, but now it's 3D, y'all. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying you had to have... I mean, the only original thing they had was, I guess, Kid Icarus, which at the moment, to me, looks like a really shitty, like, Sega third-person shooter. With giant enemy crabs.
That's fun as hell to me.
Dude, that looked like it belonged on the Sega Saturn.
Yeah,
it looked like a Sega Saturn.
It doesn't look good. I mean, what did you think, Justin?
It looks fun to me. It looks fun. I saw the, you know, I saw the video with, like, the shooter elements. It looked very quick and snappy and, I don't know, like very explosive. And then, I don't know about the parts where he's on foot doing,
you sound like
third-person
fight. You sound like you just turned into a press release, Justin Fick. Oh, with its explosive gameplay elements.
It's explosive. Well, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's got, like, kick to it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really like the shooter elements of Kid Icarus. I mean, if it's anything like the first game, it's exactly one level. I hope they do more. To be honest, the third person fight mode didn't look all that exciting to me, but the shooter parts did. Like the it looked like there's a side view. It looked like there is sort of like a 3D first person, or not first person, but a behind the back like third person shooter.
Mm.
So that looked cool.
Jury's out. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and then even the ones that didn't excite me too much, like.
Who's
like,
excited about Mario Kart at this point? Who's like, oh, fuck yes, Mario Kart?
Honestly, the one that excited me the least, ironically, was the new Mario game.
Yeah, I really did. Cause
it just looked so slow.
You know what it reminded me of was, do you know in Mario 64, the boss level, the first time you fight Bowser and you're just kind of in this big void with a bunch of moving platforms and shit you gotta jump on and climb. It's like not really a level. It's just like a little like mini thing. That's what that game kind of looked like. It didn't really look like a game. It looked like almost 2.5D, but now more on the 3D than the 2D side.
Yeah, it looked like, so it was 3D, but it wasn't like that behind the back 3D. It looked very much like an up, down, left, right kind of thing.
Even Luigi.
Which, I don't know, that could be cool.
But even Luigi's Mansion looks the same kind of way. It looked like the same sort of... You're not in a world. I guess that's how the original Luigi's Mansion was, too, though. But you're not in a whole world that you can explore. You're kind of on a screen. The game has screens to it, in a way.
I don't mind that.
Dude, why the fuck would you bring back Luigi's Mansion, for God's sake?
Yeah, I'm scratching my head at that. Like,
who's like, oh yes, after so many emails, it's finally come down to this.
They finally made a sequel to Balloon Fight.
Oh yeah, and they're like, and after so many years, we're going to be giving this away for free. Excitebike 3D. excuse me? Who's
Ice Climbers 2.
Yeah, what? They're so out of IP at this point. They're just like digging in the fucking garbage can. Donkey Kong, the original arcade game, 3D. Dude, I'm about to get on the world leaderboards for Donkey Kong. Not even funny. I've been sinking some time.
Oh, yeah, you get your Killscreen Jones going on?
Well, I've only got about 37,000 points at the moment, but I'm going to get there one day. I'm going to get that Steve Wiebe. Anyway, so was there anything else about the 3DS before we talk about the other news? I guess not.
Not really. It's just the same IPs, pretty much. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually excited for the Tetris, ironically.
I didn't even see a Tetris. There was a Tetris?
It wasn't in the presser.
Oh. But it's not going to be like, you remember Tetris 3D on the Virtual Boy? Because Blake does. That shit was a bad idea.
Honestly, it kind of looks like they are following suit of Tetris DS, which is phenomenal. Like, Tetris DS right now is my favorite Tetris game ever, period.
Yeah, I think that one is up there. Yeah, I think
you're
right.
It looks like they're doing that again. So it looks like they're very much not taking the EA route of, you know, like the like Tetris on the iPhone, which is just trash.
Yeah. Oh, but now you forget, Justific, about Tetris Grandmasters, my personal favorite Tetris game. Have you ever seen Grandmasters?
I've only seen it in the arcade. Does it ever come out in a console?
I don't think it has. I play it on my ROM box. Dude,
okay.
For those who don't know, this is for high-level Tetris play only, where the blocks are instantly at the bottom. and the only way to keep them from, like, locking in is to, like, juke them over corners and shit. It's insane. But it's a totally different kind of gameplay experience. But, yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Wii... I can't even say it. It's so fucking stupid. The Wii U. Who thought this up? Honestly, who's like, well, how can we take the worst name of all time and make it worse?
Done. And make it even worse.
Yeah. Did you have a tweet about that, Justin Fick? Like,
Yeah. Like the console after this is going to be named like the Wii U, me, him, your mom.
Okay, well, wait, let's announce it. Let's go through the specs for those who missed out on the conference. Essentially, the idea behind the Wii is that it's their new console. It's going to be backwards compatible with the old Wii games, and it's obviously got higher definition visuals, though to what extent is not exactly clear at the moment. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And the main selling point is that the controller, as we speculated a few weeks ago, has a large screen on the controller that's also a touchscreen kind of tablet, which it looks kind of big and clunky to hold and looks cumbersome, but apparently from what I've heard of people who have held it in hands-on impressions, it's not that heavy and it is fairly comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to someone who's held it and he said it's actually really light. It's really comfortable. Like it feels very natural. Like your fingers naturally rest on that lip on the triggers. Mm-hmm. And the size isn't an issue at all.
Now,
it's actually a really good controller.
Now, guys, I don't want to say I told you so, but perhaps the reason it's so light is because there's no processor inside of it. It's not actually the console renders it and then pushes it out via wireless, the video to the... Using streaming video to a device instead of processing it on the device? Who does that sound a lot like? On live.
Oh my God.
On live is the fucking future.
It's the same thing.
Just tangential. On live is coming out with iPad and like tablet and iPhone versions their service this fall, which to me, and you're even going to be able to do a lot of the same things as the, Jesus. Somebody is calling me on the listener line right now. Go away.
Can we pipe them through?
You're on. Hello?
You are live on the best damn podcast ever.
But I mean, you'll even be able to do a lot of the same stuff as the Wii U is doing now, or will do in the future. You'll be able to do on the iPad or whatever this fall. Look, you were just hating.
I'm a little put off by the size of the thing. Like, I don't really think we needed to go that big of a screen. I understand it was probably actually cheaper to get a bigger screen so we could have that same resolution. But, I don't know, like, it's a little too much pancake for me. It's a little too much pancake, I think.
I'm telling you, the pancake. Listen, I'm really, I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm excited yet because they didn't show any software. They just had a couple demos, but I'll give them a pass. You get one pass, Nintendo. You get one pass. So, but I think that the idea is really cool. I know Justin Fick has mentioned this before on the show. We've talked about this a little bit, but asymmetric information or imperfect information as a game design tool is really, really interesting. Like being able to hold a hand of cards in your hand without the other people seeing it, that kind of thing. I mean, that's just a simple example, but a lot of the demos that they had on the show floor featured this idea. Like one player out of four has different information than the others, and so the game changes for all people. Now, what I'm curious to see is will it only have one screen? Or will it have more? Can you have two of those screens? Can you have
everything that I've seen is pointed to one screen and a bunch of Wiimotes. So I don't know.
I think that's sort of the key to this whole thing working. Is like that we're not really sure about the technology yet. how that's going to... Even Nintendo hasn't said these specs are final. Like, it might only be one screen. And if that's the case, it seems like it's not near as cool. Because, I mean, okay, imagine you're playing a multiplayer game, like you're playing a first-person shooter, and you got, like, the map up on the big screen or something, or a good big global view on the big screen. Each person has their own screen where they're going around hunting each other or something, right? But wouldn't you have to render four times as much inside of the machine itself?
Yeah, it seems like there would be a lot more bandwidth involved with that.
Yeah, it seems like that's a hurdle that unless they've got some trick up their sleeve, they aren't going to be able to overcome easily.
Yeah, it's I'm reading their third party roundtable live feed here. They were actually asked, "Will any of the games use two controllers on the same television?" And they declined to answer.
Mm. They want it to be that way. They want that to work, but it.
I think maybe they want to, and they haven't gotten it yet.
Mm. Well, keep in mind, you could also probably, I'm sure you'll be able to use 3DSs at some point, or even DSs to do the same sort of functionality, right? So, I mean, and the other thing is that 3DS would have a processor inside of it, which could bear some of the load in that scenario. But, okay, they showed off some demos of the graphics, and they look good, but it's hard to really tell how it's going to be. I mean, they look good, but how does that compete not only against current-gen consoles, but next year's offerings from Sony and Microsoft?
Exactly. We got to think about this. Like, at the end of the conference, they showed this this reel of games that are supposedly coming out for this thing. Like, you know, AAA, mm-hmm. Real core gamer type of things. The new the Darksiders mm-hmm. was on there. A couple other shooters and stuff. All of that footage was... Yeah. Either PC or Xbox 360 right. footage. And none of that was actually running on the device. So I think the specs are going to be comparable.
But the key is comparable to next year, to comparable to the next Xbox or PlayStation.
Well, you got to think about this too. I mean, the next Xbox and PlayStation are probably still at least 2 years out, if not three. I mean, the whole idea behind Kinect and Move is to extend the life of those consoles another several years. I'm serious. This is the strategy.
Yeah, everything that we've read has been pointing to Microsoft and Sony consoles right. probably in 2013 or 14.
So it may be relevant for at least another 2 years if the specs are the same or a little bit better. But again, like I think that the fact that they had what's his name from EA, Skeletor. The fact they had Skeletor on stage, you know, saying we made this partnership with Nintendo for the first time. We're going to bring all these titles to the Nintendo Wii U. I think that says a lot for the capabilities of the hardware, because that's probably one of the main reasons you don't see Madden on the Wii is because it's not HD and it doesn't have the specs and all that. So I think it will be comparable to what we see.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, the dev machines are... I don't even know if I should be saying this, but they actually are much more powerful than Xbox 360. This is just hearsay from an unnamed source.
Well, here's another question I have. Okay, let's just assume Sony and Microsoft launched their game consoles in 2013. I was thinking about this. Would a severe increase in system power immediately affect games' fidelity? I mean, it would, but... I don't know. It seems to me like developers have gotten kind of comfortable at a current fidelity level, and it seems like it would take another few years to really truly. I mean, I don't. What is the future,
dude? Listen, every developer, right? Just about the processing site there, the development process for most of these console games, especially if you're doing an Xbox game, is you make the game on the PC and then you put it on the Xbox. And there's always a period during that process where the PC version is so much better than the version on the Xbox. And then they got to squeeze it into the Xbox. Like, even just a little bit more video RAM, a little bit, some tweaks here and there to the architecture. Like, this stuff would improve instantly the next round of games that come out.
My question, though, is, okay, 2012, the Wii U comes out. 2013, Sony and PlayStation's offerings come out. Do you think they will totally blow the Wii U out of the water? My question is maybe not. My speculation is maybe not.
Well, I think there's kind of a... in my opinion, there's kind of a plateau in graphics where we are now with the 360 and the PS3. I think that no matter how powerful Nintendo's console is, it will now be at that plateau.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything that Sony or Microsoft can do with their next consoles that will be leaps and bounds ahead
disagree.
Of the Wii.
I think that what we see on desktop computers nowadays
forget, you know, we get in our little insulated world. You know, to the average gamer,
Blake, oh my God. I make console games for a living, Blake. I know what there are definitely improvements that could be made in the hardware side of things, and those improvements would have a direct, visible result on what the end user
what is. Okay, what's like a high-end PC game right now? Just name one. I don't know. Whatever, Crysis 2 or whatever, okay? Right, in that... Crysis 2 just came out. Okay, to the lay person who's like your average gamer, if you put a PC version of Crysis 2 side by side, two monitors with an Xbox version, would the difference be significant to the lay gamer?
I'm not talking about picture to picture. I think that there's significant improvements that could be made with picture to picture. What I'm talking about are things like no load times anymore.
Hmm.
Things like having an entire open world streaming to your game at once. You know, no load boundaries, lots and lots of people. Lots of AI fidelity, better LODs, like all of this stuff, not just like what the shader looks like
right.
or what the final rendered image looks like, but the kinds of stuff we can put into games on a console that we just can't do right now. And a lot of that is like...
But we were specifically talking about the graphics.
The fidelity,
and the rendered
right.
Picture.
Fidelity is like, for some reason in the gaming culture, like what move systems by and large for the hardcore gamers. What I'm saying,
I think even fidelity can be improved substantially. I mean, the reason that you don't see a huge differential in the PC version of Crysis and the Xbox version of Crysis is the Crysis engine had to be spec'd in such a way that there wouldn't be a huge difference between those two things. If the Xbox was leaps and bounds
right.
better,
you'd have, you'd have a lot more development time
on PC,
to even that out.
Well, I'm saying you wouldn't have to spec the engine down to meet the requirements of the 360, and so the PC version would be better, even though the PC specs are the same, and the Xbox version would be better. You see what I'm saying? Like they architect these systems in such a way that they compensate for the failures or the not the failures really, but the lack of certain hardware, the limitations. Thank you of the consoles. So you see that manifest in the PC version as well as the console version.
Hmm.
So putting them side by side together is not a really fair comparison. If you were to only develop a PC game, it's going to look,
what I'm getting at is where's the money going to go? That's what's going to define this console generation. And if gamers are sold enough by the power of the Wii U, I think that Nintendo can again assert itself as a player, if not even leader, in the hardcore market. But if it can't compete okay. with Sony and Nintendo, then they can't. See, what else can we talk? Anything? So they didn't announce any games. They had a couple of demos, a Zelda, a couple other things. Oh, I saw some cool things on, just like some gamers have made mock-ups and stuff, but there really are some interesting ideas with this asymmetrical gameplay, like you were talking about, William. Like, what did I see? Like, you know, you could play like a Phantasy Star, right? A game that's got like a lot of stats and menus. All that's, you know, relegated to your screen. Or if you're playing like a first-person shooter with a sniper rifle, you could use that on the screen. I don't know. There's cool design elements there. I mean, do you think this is going to work or not?
I think, I got to give points to Nintendo for really exploring all the possibilities. I mean, not all, but a vast number of possibilities with this thing right out of the gate. Like, for instance, you know, like the shield pose, they were calling it, where you hold the thing up sort of like, you know, you're looking through the controller at the screen. I think that could have a lot of cool possibilities. Like I was talking about, picture a Metroid Prime game where you go into scan mode by simply holding this thing up to the screen and you look through it. And things sort of, it's sort of like, you know, looking through your scanner. And
yeah, except that was the fucking worst gameplay mechanic ever. Oh, my God. Hey, every room, you got to press this fucking button and look around. It was the goddamn worst.
So, I like, maybe that would make it a more streamlined process. Like, I can just sort of hold this thing up and peer through it a little bit. Okay, scan that. Instead of pausing the game, I hit it, bring it back down, and then I can read it as I'm doing other things. Like, that becomes the second screen, and it's out of the way. Like, there's no, like, hijacking of the game anymore. I don't know. I think it could be cool.
And, like, Hydrophobia had the same kind of thing, though, where you had the little scanner, and all it devolves to is, like, okay, every room you go in, now you have to press this button and look around the room. You know, it wasn't a good design mechanic. They're like, oh, we're going to add value by hiding these things, but if you give me the option of doing that, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to hate doing it, and now I hate you.
I think the other problem with, like, Metroid Prime, anyway, is that it wasn't so much the scanning, is that they gave you 500 things to scan in every fucking room.
Yeah.
And you had to scan them all just to see if you were missing something new. I know, like, they dimmed out things that you've read already, but, you know, I might go find an undimmed thing and go scan it, and it's like, oh, this is a rock. This is an indigenous rock to this planet. It has 5% salt, and like, I don't give a fuck. and what's worse is it even gives you completion percentage for things you scan.
Yeah, it's just like,
I'm like, why are you making me scan every fucking rock in this room?
Yeah. Ugh. And it's just like, what is it called? You know, just games that have endless lore. Like, you know, you play Dragon Age, and every fucking book has got a tale of the bard of who gives a shit. It's like this, who's like, oh yeah, I'm going to read this one. This is a real, I was going to say page turner. I guess it's a thumb wheel scroller or whatever, but ugh.
You know, I really liked the ones in the first Dead Space. I thought those were pretty cool. They were short and sweet, and you found them with a frequency that didn't really frustrate you. I sat down and I read, like, probably 60% of those.
By and large, you could still play the game, like, because most of them would read to you, and you could still play the game while listening. You see what I'm saying? That's good design. Let's start designing games good now. Developers... We're calling you out.
But, you know, if you think about a game like Dragon Age that had, you know, a huge amount of localization and VO work that had to be done.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely understand why the books were text only, you know. There were a lot of people talking in that game.
That's true. So, let's see. Anything else we want to mention about this? Anything else? Other thoughts on the Wii U or anything like that, guys?
I guess I'm not doing cartwheels for it. Like, I'm excited. Like, I mean, I'm definitely hopeful for it. I mean, I just wish the thing was a little bit, the controller anyway, was a little bit smaller, and then I'd be nutting in my pants for it, but...
Cautiously optimistic, then.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic, yeah.
I will buy it and not play it.
Like all your other game systems.
Like all my other games in game systems.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, there's always the shadow of that, too, where the only people that end up making good games for this thing are Nintendo themselves.
Mm. Yeah, they've really got to get the third-party support. And it's not clear at the moment how that's going to, you know, roll out.
It seems like they'll get it.
It sounds like they're courting them the right way, you know. Sounds like third party is being really courted, especially considering the focus on, like, you know, hardcore.
Yeah, it's like, look, you guys can keep on making your games for sweaty Neanderthalic fucking man children.
Oh, that's me.
And yeah, us basically.
Not me.
Get out.
So I mean, you know, it's like these people don't have to make Wii games anymore. They can make the same games they've always been making. And I think that'll be, you know, I think that'll be a huge win for them.
So how would we score their press conference just for the heck of it? I'd say they had the best. Easily.
I thought they had a great press conference personally.
I think that,
even though I'm not totally excited for everything, like, you know, some the 3DS
not so hot.
Things, but the thing is, like, I enjoyed the presentation of them.
Yeah, I'd give it about an 8.
Yeah, I'd even give them a 9.
All right. A glowing review in our made-up reviews of press conferences. All right,
you can now buy stock because the BDP Metacritic is above 8.
So, yeah, investors don't have to sell off their conference stock.
That's another fun little news I saw. Like right after the reveal of the Wii U, Nintendo's stock dropped like 6%.
Whew. It seems like it would. I mean, I guess we have a different perception than most. But yeah, I guess if
Well,
if it's marketing,
it's like it's on average, you know. So it's like some people are gonna be like, "Oh shit," you know. And this isn't, you know, these aren't players; these are investors. So right. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, this, you know, this might be good, but it's risky. Sell, you know. Mm. I mean, it's like Apple. The same thing happens to Apple after every major keynote. Their stock plummets.
Mm. Are there any other, I know we've already been going a pretty good while here, but are there any other game announcements or any details on games you guys saw that you want to mention here real quick before we move on to the, or I guess we'll do releases, why not, sure.
Wait, I want to see what, Justific, what did you think of the Cave Story footage that we saw?
That's right.
We saw a little bit of it.
Was it the 3DS that got it? I think the 3DS actually got a little bit of Cave Story 3D love in the press conference. I love the fact that it's Cave Story. I'm not sold on the graphical style of Cave Story 3D.
Hmm.
Like,
I think the problem with those 3D platformers is when you add the parallax in there, all of a sudden the accuracy of your platforming just drops. Hmm. And that game is all about platforming accuracy. Like, you can't play it at the highest levels without, you know, being really, really good and accurate. And when you add the 3D in there, you know, when you got that little bit of perspective, it's like, you know, your jumps aren't pixel perfect anymore. And
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that so much. Like, I mean, it looked pretty quick and still responsive in the quick 2 second clip that I saw. But it's really just the graphical style. It's gone from the, you know, the very bright Cave Story style to, I don't know, like this very dark, spooky. I don't know. It's almost impossible to see what's going on. Like, it's like the screen is so dark, and I don't know. I'm not sold on the graphics at all.
I wanted to ask you too, Justin Fick, or I guess both of you guys, but mainly you, Fick, since you're the Minecraft fan. What did you think of the new Minecraft? I guess has there been any footage of it yet, or was it just a name drop?
Just a name drop, as far as I could tell.
No. There was footage. I mean. Yeah, the Xbox trailer for Minecraft was the Xbox version of Minecraft. Like, they made it in engine.
Okay. Yeah, this is after I jumped ship to the Apple keynote.
Mm.
So I missed a lot of the details. And I approve of its existence.
It's got Kinect though. I mean, it could.
I don't know. Is it going to require Kinect, or is it just like an
surely
optional
not?
Thing?
Surely it's not going to require it.
So it's like, I don't give a shit about Kinect. Like, I'm sure I will. I'm sure it'll be enjoyable. I don't know if I'll jump ship from my Mac to go play it on my Xbox 360. I approve its existence because that it will muscle out all the ripoffs like Fortress Craft that are on indie games and shit like that. So,
yeah, dude, those guys—they're
like such dicks.
That ruined
oh
their
my
whole
God.
Life. Their life is over. Like, all of that they did. Oops, done.
All right, so let's see. Before we, I guess we'll go ahead and do releases here. Is there anything? Does anything come out this week? I don't even.
Yeah, actually, I got releases up, and there's.
Okay. Well, before we go on to that, I had one game I wanted to mention because I watched this trailer. Did you guys play Ace Combat? I think it was 4 or the one that came out about 2 years ago, a year or two ago.
I think 4 was the one I played.
Yeah,
it's up to like 7.
It's
now,
on the three.
They?
It's like on the 360. Came out maybe 2-ish years ago. It was called Fires of Liberation.
No, it wasn't the one I played.
Anyway, the new Ace Combat trailer, which, okay, the last Ace Combat, it had some cinematic elements in it, and it was pretty cool. Then they had some trailers for this new one, it looked pretty cool. This trailer, though, oh my God, dude, I gotta get me this tape. I'm gonna send this to you guys. Huh. I don't normally have such glowing reviews of trailers, but load up this tape. Look at this shit. It's like Gladiator almost. It's got that's amazing right. Score.
Okay, y'all shut up. I'm gonna listen.
All right, should we start?
Oh, I started. I hear that woman singing.
Nomad 62.
This is amazing. Yeah, look at this. Are you kidding me?
Keep hammering.
What's that?
Give me a cigarette.
I
saw my death in my
dreams. Saw my death in my dreams.
Hey, Colonel, you look like you saw a ghost. Just what's going on? The ERA's flight took a hit.
Oh, my God.
Fighter escort is standard procedure, General Stankishov. You know that. NATO.
Not the Russians again! Damn it!
Oh, no.
Not NATO.
Thought we killed all you bastards. Oh, dude.
Proceed to engage remaining targets.
Like, all the camera work is amazing. I don't know if it's going to look like this in the game. I mean, maybe. It could, but some of this camera work is just unbelievable. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I don't recall there being this many people in Ace Combat games. So I thought it was just jets.
Oh, the last one did have a lot of story elements in it.
Their weapon again. T-Ray, what the
but
hell
not this much.
Another of those explosions. And they had Russians with them. Advisors, maybe.
Russians?
That's right.
Mercenaries.
Markov! Oh, no!
Markov.
Oh, God.
I'd recognize him anyway.
You know him that well.
I know him, Colonel. I flew with him.
Oh, man.
Aircraft coming at you at a high rate of speed.
That's the nickname.
I don't know if I'd call this a dogfighting game anymore. This is like Call of Duty in jet.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, compared God. To the last one, this is unbelievable.
Conflict, revolution, conspiracy.
Nice reading there, William.
We have additional information.
Cruise missile on radar.
Glavner, at them seats.
They call it Trinity.
Oh, dear.
Wow, yeah, I don't know what to say.
That was my reality.
Oh, man.
I was going to bring up the Top Gun game, but I don't even... I'm not going to bother now.
Yeah, like... Good God.
Oh, my God.
I have to watch the whole thing. I can't stop.
Is that a barrel roll I just saw? Assault... Dude, I got to get this. When does this shit come out? Oh, 10-11-11.
That's the purpose, is to tell you that.
God,
anyway, yeah,
awesome.
Dude, so far, that's like my game of E3. Because the last one was pretty good, but that's like leaps and bounds better than the last one.
I know what I'm going to watch like three times after we're done.
If you want to, maybe Gregory can get the... Gregory, just look up. It's called Ace Combat Assault Horizon. I guess the video that just posted, like, you'll know the one. The one that matches our shouting. That one.
I read like half of it, so.
So, yeah. Let's go on to releases. Look, I'm like Wayne Miller. I don't even have them ready.
Oh, God damn it.
Dude, I got this shit ready to go.
All right, well, start us off then.
All right. First up, on June 14th, Duke Nukem Forever.
Ooh.
Oh, Duke Nukem.
Is this not? You guys were hating on this. I'm still in the fan.
I'm still hating on it,
dude. Come on, it's Gearbox. They do good stuff. Duke, he's good. Why you hate? Don't be hating on the Duke.
I just don't give a shit about it.
Where the fuck are these releases?
Alice Madness Returns on PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. Yeah, I remember reading a little bit about this. Does anybody know this is a remake? I think of the original Alice. Or is it a new game?
A sequel. It's a sequel.
Now, I never really got that into Alice. Did anybody play that much of this game, the original?
I played a little bit. Well, the thing is, I didn't play it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, by the time I did play, it was dated, and I'm like, I don't know. I got bored right away.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks like a third-person kind of fighter and some horror elements?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. William Miller, you got your releases together yet?
I got it. All right, we got Wii Play Motion. Looks like more Wii Sports action-looking games. 12 of them, to be exact. We got Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Ugh.
Coming out in 2012. Okay. And Children of Eden. I don't even know what that tape is.
Oh! From Ubisoft. Oh!
This is the, this one looks good.
Dude, this is Rez 2, baby.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was coming out.
This is the Kinect shooter.
Yeah, this is the only reason I bought a Kinect. Hopefully it won't suck. From what I've read, it's supposed to be pretty good, but it's, you know, if you'd never played Rez, it was like this musical-themed on-rail shooter, and everything is sort of timed to music, and it had all these weird, like, Darwin God issues in it and stuff that are all... It was very strange.
It's on X-Block, go get it.
Yeah, you should really... But this is supposedly the spiritual sequel of it. I'm excited. We'll see what reviews say.
I just hope it has options for changing the controls around, because the video I saw, I watched one of the giant bomb videos, like, they're, you know, you sort of, like, sweep your hand, you shoot by, like, pumping your hand out in front of you. Mm. I want to change that so it shoots by me doing a pelvic thrust at the screen.
Well, I read that you can also play this with the controller just by itself as well, so, but at the same time, if you do, I mean, hopefully it's designed in such a way that you'll want to play with the Kinect, right? Like, that will add to it, not take away from it.
Yeah, it's designed for the Kinect.
Hmm. All right, then we got Transformers Dark of the Moon, and that's about it. So, there you have it. Let's move on to feedback. All right, guys, and feedback. We got one email this week. Let me pull it up. Totally not act like, oh, and what's this? We're getting a telephone call. Actually, maybe we should do that first. Should we do the phone call first?
Yeah, let's do that first.
Right, what? I guess I have to pretend someone's calling now. This is not contrived at all. You know what? It was earlier. All right, you're in on the clue. I don't give a shit.
Blake Buck, we're getting a call on the BDPE net.
Yeah, like
live from the internet.
All right, I recorded this, and then I'm gonna play it back for you guys. But it was like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes ago when this dude called. Here we go. And all right, what's your question?
All right, first of all, this is KG. Live feedback right now. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So a while back, you were talking about this game called Coin Dozer. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Right.
Okay, so like an idiot, I went ahead and I downloaded it, and my wife downloaded it too, and we play it every day. Okay, we are addicted to Coin Dozer, and she's got like 1,000 coins. She's playing it right now. She's got 1,000 coins on her Coin Dozer.
Okay.
Okay, so like, you know, what you were saying was you could like buy the coins. You could spend like $20 and get like 500 coins. Mm-hmm. Well, how come you can't sell those coins back to Coin Dozer? How come I can't get $20 from Coin Dozer, but I can give them $20 and I get these bullshit coins? How come when I get those coins, I work my ass off to get like 300 coins, but my wife's got 1,000 coins. How come I can't get money from the coins that I have?
Because that would be gambling, right? That would be right. Isn't that the whole trick behind that?
Well, yeah. Well, A, that would be gambling, and B, also, welcome to the free-to-play business model.
Yeah.
If it sounds like bullshit, that's because it is. Yeah. Reverse, don't fire me.
There was a little more of this, but here, KG, or not Caden, you're not Caden. Craig Reed, make this sound good, but I like the last part of this, too. All right, well, I can't actually respond to this question, because then when we play it on the show, I would be double responding, but we'll get it on the show here, and this is my favorite part.
Anyway. I'm kind of drunk right now, man. I think I broke a window.
Goodbye, sir. I'm an asshole around the world. What is this bullshit? All right, well, guys, I think with that abortion of a live feedback, that's all we got time for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that? Oh, wait, fuck, no, I forgot about our email. Good Lord, dude, I'm all over the fucking place. Craig Reed, help us. You're our only hope.
Ow.
What happened?
I'm in pain.
I hit
pieces of my body against inanimate objects, and it was not pleasant.
Oh, Lord. Oh, here, why don't you recover, and William, why don't you read this? This is from Wild Penis.
All right. Wild Penis writes, just in case you forgot, Fick now segues into tapes. I'm sure he has some more stories about Uncle A-Rad and his bass play and his bass player.
Oh, that's
Paul.
Right. We were supposed now, to you... have a new segment.
Oh, man.
And we've forgotten about it already. Well, too bad. It's already gone.
Yep. Not happening. All right. I'll just mention my tape, Power Pete, seeing as it was my first Mac game I ever played. Keep up the good work. P.S. You're still hiding that power because in 82, you never played $599 for Fick. You only mentioned it at the beginning of the show.
Fick, I'm not going to stick it in the feed. You'll never hear it. I'm sorry, Fick. I made a little remix of Kaz Harai and his $599.
I've heard the legends.
Okay. Anyway, I think that's about it for the best damn podcast ever, guys. What do you think about that?
It's a good show, Blake Buck.
Damn good show.
If you got any feedback for us, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9. Not when we're doing a show. I was gonna say like when we're doing the show and then not say it, but I know people would do it intentionally at that time just to fucking piss me off. A couple other things I want to mention. Someone was telling me this. We have forums. I forget that. You know, we gotta get some action going in the forums. They're gonna look a little peaked these days. So if you listen to the show, you like listening to it, check out the forums. They're on Best Damn Podcast Every. Click a little button. They're awful. But you know what? Don't go in there. There's dicks everywhere. Also, what's his name in the forums? Pete B. wanted me to mention this again on the show because apparently only like him and one other person has signed up for his stock deal. But if you're into the investment thing we talked about a few shows back, Pete B. has created some sort of pyramid scheme, trapezoid, I don't know how it works. Free money. Go get it now. But it's listed in the forums. Also, thanks to, who we got to thank? Oh, before I get to that, you can follow our Twitters have changed around. So, Blake Buck's Twitter is now @BlakeBuck, and anything show related is @BestDamnPodcastEver. Let's see, what do you got?
No, it's @BDPE.
Oh, that's right, @BDPE. And what are you, do you guys want to say yours? Or
yeah, you can follow me at Will R. Miller.
And I am Justin Fick.
Because we got to get
pretty
our tweet
easy.
On. Get our tweet on. Also, let's see, Big Hot Show. I don't know, I'm starting, by the way, I just wanted to plug Big Hot Show here for a minute. I'm starting to put out shows regularly again on Big Hot Show. I'm no longer too embarrassed to cross promote it. So if you're into some more abstract podcast humor, might want to check out bighotshow.com. Dude, look, it's just dick jokes all hour. That's hilarious to me. Anyway, I think that about does it from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
I'm William Miller.
And we'll see you next time.